You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We're the football dudes. And Dave, are you ready, my brother?
You got that right, my friend. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've just crossed over into the trend zone. In today's episode, we'll talk trade. The trade deadline is coming up less than a week away. Oh, my God, it's already getting here, and the first dominoes have started to fall. We'll let you know just what happened there. We'll talk a little Survivor, some fantasy go-back starts of the week, some fantasy free agent wire pickups there, and we'll take a look at all of the awesomeness that is week 8. But before we get to that, Dave, tell me you got a tasty nug for the peoples, bro.
Super dank, bro. Listen to this. Four teams that didn't make the playoffs last year are currently leading their divisions. That's the Cardinals at 7-0, Bengals 5-2, your Cowboys at 5-1, and the Raiders at 5-2. And Casey, that's exciting enough. But with 11 weeks left in the season, four other teams that didn't make the playoffs last year also, they're within two games of first place also. So they are sort of in that wild card position. That would be the Broncos, Colts, Chargers, and Patriots all sort of barking up the tree there, knocking on the door. That could be up towards 8 new playoff teams. That would be outrageous, dude.
Man, that is why the NFL is far superior to any other sports league out there. It's just like, it's a live and die league week to week, and you're always in it. You got a shot, you know, from year to year. Your team can do a couple of things and get right in that mix, and that is why we love it.
Or you can drop out, man, with some like so many injuries pile up. That could be it too. It goes the other way too, man.
The highs and lows, Dave. The highs and lows.
We live by it.
That's right. Well, one way to send your team into the playoffs or send them into purgatory is by trading picks and players and stuff. But we got a player going home, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. The Texans are trading veteran running back Mark Ingram back to the Saints, where he had some really nice success back in the day there.
Brandon Cooks was a big fan of this trade, right?
Yeah. Well, am I allowed to say this on podcast?
Do it.
Quote, this is bullshit. Such a joke, Cooks tweeted. And you got to feel for the guy. He seems to be the guy on the team that's maybe the next target if somebody needs a wide receiver. And that might cost a little bit more than the trade for Mark Ingram, which is supposed to be maybe some future late round picks. Yeah, sort of swapped around a little bit there. So not a big price tag on Ingram, but Cooks, man, if they want to move him, there could be something, some real nice reward back to the Houston. They're obviously, you know, they're doing a fire sale. They're rebuilding from the ground up, you know.
That's speaking of fire sale, there's, you know, a little smoke this week about potential Deshaun Watson trades. They say Miami is not the only place he'll go now. But that like we said, that deadline is next Tuesday, Dave. How do you sell this to your fan base, bro?
Dude, I know that we've talked about it, and you can't see it happening just in terms of half your fans, let's say roughly, are women. And are they really going to just open their arms and embrace this guy who's, if nothing else, has horrible judgment? We don't have any results from any of these cases, these 22 unsolved or unresolved cases in court. That has to be taken care of. He has to serve some sort of suspension. We've seen 6-game suspensions and stuff for one case, not 22. So if you're going to trade for him, you're going to have to take a huge PR hit, and you're going to have to also pay him a lot of money to have a suspension before anything can get resolved. They actually have to resolve these cases.
And a bunch of draft picks, dude. Like, you could be far worse off, man. I don't know, dude.
That's why if they unload him, it'll probably be a steal in terms of if he ever is able to clean himself up in terms of his image, get himself fixed up, and then get on the field and play like Deshaun Watson had, you know, in the past.
Yeah, and you just hope that it's not true. But it's like, whoa, I know, but you know what? We're going to know. What's that?
Tracy. Allegations.
That's right. That's right. And so everybody gets, you know, a fair shake. But Dave, we're going to know for sure in less than a week. And, you know, we're going to have all the trade talk on the trend zone next week for the peoples there. But Dave, let's move in to a little life and death scenario here. It is time for survival, or as we like to call it, three strikes. How did you do, brother?
Yeah, I had Arizona over Houston. That was, in fact, the most popular correct pick last week. That's been a trend that's actually worked well for players this year, picking the most popular pick, Casey.
Yeah, Dave, well, I just pick whoever's playing the Jets, and that worked out for me last week. New England over the Jets, what was 54-13?
Ooh.
Brutality there. The most popular incorrect pick last week was the Panthers over the Giants, the Jets' neighbor there and their roommate, and the most popular pick heading into next week. You could guess it, Dave. The Bengals over the Jets.
Right. So your theory continues to pan out quite nicely, Casey. The whoever's on the Jets' schedule.
It's working for me, baby. It's working.
Let's screw it up, man.
All right, Dave, let's get into a little fantasy here. We're talking our fantasy go back starts of the week when you set a lineup, and if you could go back in time and take out that player and move in another one to secure that win. How did you do last week, dude?
I got the W against the Cosloos, the Green Bud Packers there. And ultimately, Casey, with the six teams on bye, in order to field a team and have every position accounted for, I actually had to cut two players off the bottom end of my roster to just get some active guys. But those active guys that I brought in actually did contribute. So all I can say is no regrets for this guy right here. I got my W and survived that brutal week of all those buys and stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like the Green Bud Packers were just putting some, you know, skanky homegrown in there and weren't able to withstand the lightning storm that is lightning strikes.
That's correct.
Well, Dave, mine was a tale of two Mikes. I could have crushed Cookie with a jet, which I wish I would have. I went with Mike Davis, who got me a 1. Instead, I should have gone with Mike Carter, who would have gotten me 8.4. But I still had plenty enough to make that cookie crumble. So I cruised to a victory. Well, Dave, last week we talked about it. The bye again, where that was brutal, man. There were six teams on bye. So there's a few this week. But let's hit that waiver wire and see what some of the people can do if they need to fill a bye or just pick up a better player than what they got. Start me off with the quarterback.
Yeah, I got two, Casey, that are pretty good. One, Kirk Cousins, who never gets enough credit for putting up the numbers that he puts up. He's available in almost 25% of leagues around there, playing against those Cowboys. He's got to look.
Oh, negative 18 for Kirk this week. Sorry,
yeah,
Dave.
I was going to say, got to look out for your guy, Trayvon Diggs. Man, doesn't want to serve one up to him, right? And then the other one here is also Carson Wentz. Ever since that double ankle sprain healed up on this guy, he's actually played some really good football. He's available in almost 75% of leagues. They're playing the Titans this weekend. So I think pretty good pickups there at quarterback, surprisingly.
Totally, dude. And, you know, we're the week 8, and there's usually never any running backs, so that's the way you feel about it. But this week, dude, holy smokes, in our league, which is very competitive, the small benches help move some of the talent there on the bottom of the rosters. But check this out, dude. Tony Pollard, Jamal Williams, Kenneth Gainwell, Khalil Herbert, Mark Ingram, dude, there are plenty of running backs out here if you just have to stream one. So it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, and my Don for the Bolt Action last week was able to stream two running backs very successfully. So it's out there, folks. You just got to find where to pick them. And speaking of finding where to pick them, how about the wide receiver position, Casey, with the situation COVID-wise in Green Bay, where it looks like Davante Adams and Lazard will not be able to play in Thursday night's game, which is flying up on us. How about picking up Randall Cobb, dude? He's available in 87.5% of leagues out there, and they're at Arizona. You know what? It could be a shootout, you know? I mean, wouldn't surprise me, the air raid offense that the Cardinals are bringing. Cobb might be a really nice acquisition.
That's going to be a sweet game, dude. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. So hold on. Pump the brakes on that, Dave. I'm going to switch over to tight end real quick. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use your guy against you, man. I'm picking up Hunter Henry, the tight end for the Patriots, coming to play our Los Angeles Chargers. This dude has had a touchdown in 4 straight games. So you know he's going to want to find that pay dirt at the SoFi. And, you know, like a a jilted ex-lover there coming home to see the new stadium, and he wants to show you what you guys are missing now.
Yeah, well, the Patriots overpaid him. Sorry about that. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, I'm still a fan of Hunter Henry. He's actually been on a nice tear lately, really playing some good football. So hopefully the Chargers can contain him with their win.
All right, Dave, let's get to the real action. We're talking the slate of games for Week 8. And this is the best Thursday nighter we've had since Week 1 when it was the Cowboys at the Bucks. We got the Green Bay Packers at the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals are 3.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, and obviously this is, like you said, a phenomenal game in terms of playoff positioning and all that stuff. At 6-1 versus 7-0, this one could determine home field advantage late there. But Green Bay coming off of a nice win against Washington, where Rodgers passed for 274 yards, 3 touchdowns, 127.6 rating. So he's really tearing it up. Obviously, since that week one dud, they've been 6 straight wins. Aaron Jones, very consistently running the ball well. He's going for his 3rd game in a row with 100-plus scrimmage yards. So running, receiving, doing a great job. Dylan might get some action here, too, in this game if they're trying to keep that high-powered Cardinals offense kind of at bay a little bit. But as we just mentioned moments ago, that Davante Adams not likely to play in this one. Lazard, it'll be Randall Cobb, Equanimeous St. Brown, Amari Rodgers. So a little bit of a letdown at the receiver position, but can Rodgers elevate their play by having a real, real sharp game? And then Robert Tonyan also coming off of a nice game last week. So I'm looking for the Packers to play a really good football game, but this one's really tough to call.
Yeah, and I think Bakhtiari might be out of that one too. So it's going to be tough about the Packers, but it's really going to be more on that Packers defense, because slowing down this Cardinals offense has been pretty much impossible so far this season. Kyler Murray, dude, on the MVP level, man, the guy is a cheat code. He can run, he can throw, and they just added Zach Ertz to the mix there. And what did he do? He had a touchdown last week. So many weapons there. They said DeAndre Hopkins is a little gimpy. I'm sure he's going to go in this one.
Yeah.
If they can get that run game going just to be, you know, have some consistency, then there's not much that this Cardinals team can't do. They're not going to have J.J. Watt in this thing, so that's a little bit of a bummer. But this could definitely be a playoff preview. Both these teams jockeying for the spot at the top of the NFC. Too bad the Packers aren't at full strength, but it's still going to be an amazing game.
Yeah, no question about it. It's going to be very exciting, and we will see how that comes out. Okay, up next, Casey, Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons at home favored by 2.5.
Yeah, dude, the Panthers have fallen off the cliff after that 3-0 start. They just not look good. And, Dave, don't look now, dude. But, bro, the Atlanta Falcons are right now sitting at the 8 seed. They are sniffing the playoffs as we speak. We left them for dead.
Yeah.
And then every time, you know, I think the route, they pulled me back in, played pretty good football last week. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson, dude, he's been rejuvenated there. It's been amazing to see him. So this is an important game for both teams, but Atlanta feels like they're starting to turn a corner here. So we'll see what happens. A huge NFC South battle.
Yeah, and really bumming for Sam Darnold. Just came crashing back down to earth after that nice start to the season. And also, obviously, not having the running back.
CMC, no go. That's brutal. Well, that helps for me because I have Chuba here. Okay, Dave, moving on.
Yeah.
We got Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills are 13.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, and you know what? The Bills have actually won the past 6 games in a row in this matchup. Brian Flores has never actually beaten the Bills. He's 0-5 as a coach. excuse me, but Tua coming off of a real nice game, a career high 80% and 291 yards and another career high 4 touchdowns last week. So an awesome, awesome performance for Tua. Really lit it up pretty nicely there. And Mike Gesicki, also another great game for the tight end there, 7 catches and a touchdown. But when Jalen Waddle, when Tua has been playing, Jalen Waddle has been kind of the go-to guy. That connection is evident there. And Jalen Waddle sort of faded out of the mix when it wasn't Tua at quarterback. But Waddle, 7 catches, 83 yards last week. And, you know, he's cranking it out, man. He's getting it going. On defense, Xavien Howard, man, three passes defended and two interceptions last week as well. So he'll be looking to try and defend that high-powered passing attack from these Bills.
Yeah, and dude, they were coming off that last-second loss to the Titans on Monday night before they went into their bye week. But you got to like the sack on Sean McDermott. He's like, we could tie this up and push it into OT. Now we're going for the win. And just Allen had he just slipped, you know. He wasn't patient on that 1 yard, and that would have, you know, that would have been the dub. So I like him going for it there. We know about the offense, man. They're just – kicking butt everywhere you turn. And Manny Sanders has been a real nice addition to this offense. But let's give this defense some love, dude. This is a number one defense in the league, giving up only 270 yards a game.
Wow.
And Greg Rousseau, man, the rookie there, he's leading the team in sacks. He's got three. So if they can continue to play that type of defense, Josh Allen's not going to be slipping on these runs very often, man. This would be a good separation game for the Bills to show the Dolphins where they're at. But these divisional games, they can get wacky, so anything goes. But I expect the Bills to roll in this one.
No doubt about it. Okay, up next, Casey, it is the San Francisco 49ers at the Chicago Bears. Niners on the road, favored by 3.5.
Yeah, and I know everybody would like to see the rookie draft picks going in this one. Fields is going to be in there, but we're going to have to wait and see. We're going to get Jimmy G instead. Sorry over there, bro. But that's going to be the best chance for them to actually do something in this game. You know, last week, the rain just made that Colts-Niners game disgusting. So it's hard to, you know, really put where it went wrong for that offense last week, because the conditions were awful. But they've been pretty solid. When Jimmy G's been healthy, they've won more games than they haven't. They're about on their eighth running back this year, Elijah Mitchell. He's leading the team in rushing yards. So they need to get more out of Trey Sermon there. And I think Jeff Wilson is coming back soon too. So Deebo Samuel has been awesome. Hopefully the conditions will be better in this. But man, the loser of this team, I mean, these teams are in bad shape right now as it is, but the loser in this one, you can pretty much write them off. And, you know, it's bad news with Bosa coming in town, as much as Justin Fields has been sacked already. I think Trey Lance is like, oh, I'm over here sitting on the bench. I'll watch what happens to Fields, and I'll learn the easy way instead of the hard way.
Yeah, right. And Bosa obviously licking his chops. You know, on the for the Bears, one of the bright spots, Khalil Herbert last week, the rookie, 133 scrimmage yards. They're going to need him to run the ball well. And like you said, that will kind of help Justin Fields not get pummeled back there.
All right, up next, Dave, we got so many killer divisional games this week. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns, and the Brownies are 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, and the Steelers here, Casey, coming off their bye. But prior to that, they eked out a win versus Seattle. And that was a big one. You know, this Steelers team, it seems like, you know, that we want to sort of kind of turn the page on Ben Roethlisberger and this Steelers team for this year. But they're sitting at 3-3, and this is a real, real crucial game, divisionally speaking. Also, Ben coming off a nice game where he had 72.5% completions and a touchdown. And Najee Harris, the rookie, has shown that he can really contribute. They don't have a great offensive line, but when he gets a little crease, he can really take stuff. And also receiving the football out of the backfield, very good. 127 yards last week and a touchdown. So, or 2 weeks ago when the last game they played. Deontay Johnson, obviously Smith-Schuster going down gives us less in the receiving category, but Deontay Johnson, 9 catches, 96 yards in week 6. And on the other side, Chase Claypool as well. Pat Freiermuth, Casey, at tight end.
You gotta say like this, Dave. Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah. He's been sort of elevating his play alongside Ebron there. So got a couple of good tight ends. And then how about on the other side, where really this defense has got to step up? And in this case, T.J. Watt would be a great guy. 3 passes defensed last week, 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble. So he's kind of lighting up, filling up the stat sheet there. He'll need to do that against this Brownies team. Is it going to be Baker, Casey? Is he going to be able to go?
Well, they had the good thing is they played on Thursday, so they got that mini bye in there. So they've been off 10 days, and Baker, you know, he's going to be out there if there's any way possible for him. And if he can't go, it's not the end of the world. You know, Case Keenum's a solid vet. He played pretty well last week, did enough to get that victory. But they hope to get Nick Chubb back in this thing because Kareem Hunt's going to be out no matter what. Chubby might be able to get back in there, dude. But if not, D'Ernest Johnson, bro, he was awesome last week. 168 scrimmage yards and a touchdown. So that running game is a huge part of what Cleveland wants to do. And it was impressive last week. They ran all over a pretty strong Broncos defense. Jarvis Landry made his debut last week, coming back from the injury. He was kind of getting into – he had five catches. If Baker plays, him and Odell just haven't been able to get it going. So – maybe it's Case Keenum. They can get enough out of Odell to maybe move him before that trade deadline. There's been whispers of that, but we'll see if anything transpires. But this is a huge divisional game, and, you know, there's no love lost between these two teams. So I am super stoked to see this one when it goes down.
Yeah, it's going to be a good grudge match indeed. All right, up next, Casey, the Philadelphia Eagles at the Detroit Lions. Eagles on the road, favored by 3.5.
Yeah, dude. And this Eagles team has been super disappointing. You know, 2-5 on the season. They're getting blowed out in these games, and then at the end they add some points.
That's
so
right.
They don't look that That's terrible. Bad. And if you have Jalen Hurts on your fantasy team, you're stoked. If you're an Eagles fan, the jury's still out. The good thing about these Eagles, though, they're going to have 3 top 10 picks in next year's draft. So I know you want to win every game, but, you know, I think they're content with those picks next year.
Yeah.
We're not sure if Miles Sanders is going to play. He left the game with that bum ankle last week. Boston Scott's been pretty good when he's come up in this position in the past. And Kenneth Gainwell, he had a nice game last week, too. So, you know, it's these teams are free falling. Someone's going to win this game, Dave.
Yeah.
Someone's going to win.
DeAndre Swift coming off a really nice game last week, 144 scrimmage yards, Casey. And I say this, if you're an Eagles fan, trust the process. Right?
Trust, the process.
I don't know if the Lions have a process or not, though. So.
Dave, if you thought it couldn't get any better than Philadelphia, Detroit, hold your beer, my friend. We got the Los Angeles Rams at the Houston Texans, baby. React.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk up our Rams a little bit here, Casey. Matt Stafford, season-wise, 19 touchdowns, just 4 picks, 116.8 rating. So he is really enjoying himself in Los Angeles on this Sean McVay-led offense. You know, it's just feeling real good. And Cooper Kupp, dude, absolutely destroying the league right now. 10 catches, 156 yards, and 2 touchdowns last week as the Rams completely lit it up. Although it wasn't a total blowout against the Lions last week. The Rams certainly were in control of the football game. And you got on the other side, Tyrod Taylor has practiced a little bit. There is a chance that he would play in this football game. Otherwise, it'll be Davis Mills, the rookie. And we kind of do still need to see more of Davis Mills.
Yeah.
A third round pick. And we know this team is obviously in a long-term rebuild. You know, Tyrod isn't the long-term answer. He would get them more, you know, maybe a little bit more competitive. But
Yeah, dude, you got to keep going with Mills and see what he has. There's no reason to bring Tyrod back. This season is over.
All right, up next, Casey, it's the Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. This one's a tight one as the Titans are favored by just a half a point on the road.
Dave, I'm not going to say that the Titans are the best team in the NFL right now, but I ain't going to say that they ain't because, man, they looked so impressive in that blowout win in Kansas City last week. Ooh. Or I guess it was at home, but they spanked. I don't even remember where the hell that game was, Dave, but I know that they kicked the crap out of the Chiefs. And the week before that, they beat those Bills. So they've taken down the two teams that were in the AFC Championship last year.
Wow.
The King Henry, dude, you could hit, you know, 25 runs and you hold him for 20 and the next 5 go to the house, man. So you just don't know. But A.J. Brown and Julio are really starting to get healthy and they ate up the Chiefs last week. I know that they were paying a little more attention to the run game to try to slow that down, but it definitely blew up on them because A.J. Brown, dude, career high, 8 and 133 yards and a touchdown last week. So those guys can stay healthy. Ryan Tannehill's play action is some of the best in the league. And when,
no doubt,
when you think it's going to be a run, he holds that thing and he takes it in himself. Very impressed by how these Titans are putting it together. But they were good enough to beat the Bills and the Chiefs, and they were still bad enough to lose to the Jets. But I'm not going to hold that against them anymore. These Titans are playing some pretty damn good football, but this is going to be a tough, tough game.
Yeah, and we talked about the Colts. They sort of were left for dead early in the season as they had injuries at the quarterback and receiver positions. And now they're sitting at 3-4. Let's not forget, they do have the Jaguars and the Texans in their division. They still haven't played any of those games. So this is a team, if they can get this W right here and get right at 500, they are looking at a pretty nice long-term prognosis. Now, we look at these teams played each other just about a month ago, and it was 25-16 Titans. So this one would equal the score there. Last week it was the deluge. They got the W in San Francisco, and that was a huge win for this team. They're getting better and better as weeks go on. But Carson Wentz, sneaky good, 11 touchdowns, just one pick on the season.
Wow.
You're kidding me? One pick, 102.8 passer rating. And he's definitely playing good football. Listen to this. Fifth game, he's looking to get his fifth game in a row with two touchdowns and a quarterback rating of 105 or higher. That would be the longest streak in the NFL if he can put that together. So not bad. And they're running the ball very well with Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, for sure. Taylor over 100 yards and a touchdown last week. So he's looking for his fifth straight 100-plus yard scrimmage game and a rush TD to go with that. That would be the longest active streak in the NFL as well. So they're putting together some nice stuff. T.Y. getting back into the mix. Michael Pittman coming off a huge game, over 100 yards and a touchdown last week. And Mo Ali Cox, our astronomical mention from last week, Casey.
Yeah.
I went with that. I actually picked him up, and the dude got a touchdown for me. He's looking for his third straight game with a touchdown. On the other side,
you were serious when you said you were going to go pick up some Cox.
I love Cox, dude. What can I tell you? He scored for me, right? And you know what? In order to stop this Titans squad, you mentioned it. You have to stop King Henry, and that's going to be up to Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner and company. That front seven has got to play a very, very strong game. You mentioned it. You can play a quarter or two or three of pretty good football against Henry, and then he busts it out. And next thing you know, you're giving up 150, 200 yards to the guy and multiple touchdowns. So you just got to keep playing good football and get the Titans off the field somehow.
Yeah, dude, this got the two top rushers in the league. Jonathan Taylor, number two at 579. Derrick Henry at 869. So that tells you
that's
what kind
lot
of work the King is doing. Wow, impressive. All right, Dave, a game not quite as sexy as Titans Colts. We got the Cincinnati Bengals at the New York Jets.
All right. Well, the Bengals feeling real good about themselves coming off that 41-17 win at Baltimore, a statement game for the franchise that we haven't seen. This franchise with Joe Burrow at the helm and Zach Taylor as the coach hasn't had a win like that ever. That was huge. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got your New York Jets. Your New York Jets just coming off of a loss 54-13 to New England. Not close.
Was it really that close, Dave?
It wasn't even that close. It doesn't seem like. I don't know. But I don't know if anyone else gave up 54 this year, but the Jets have. Let's just talk Burrow real quick. You know, he is coming off of a nice game. A career-high 416 yards passing and three touchdowns last week in that big win at Baltimore. Jamar Chase, you know, I mean, it's rare that a rookie really just pops into the league and just dominates from the get-go like Chase has. But
remember
eight catches,
he had those drops in the preseason.
I know.
Like, see, they should have gone with the tackle.
Right. No. And it's like, oh, this guy's got the drops. He's No. Eight catches, 201 yards and a touchdown last week. And Uzoma, we'll just go with Uzoma, 91 yards and two touchdowns last week. If he was your tight end pickup, you'd have even been in better shape, Casey.
Well, hey, at least the Jets are putting Mike White out there. So Jeff Van has that to look forward to.
Yes, they do, Casey. All right, moving on to the later slot of games. We'll start it off with the New England Patriots at the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers at home favored by 5.5 in this. That's pretty good.
Wow, that's a little surprising, being that this Patriots team curb stomped the Chargers last year. But that's when Herbert was a rookie. He's no longer a rookie, so I'm throwing that 45-0 right out the window there. But you got to be impressed with these Patriots, dude, and specifically Mac Jones. He played really well last week. I know it was the Jets, but he's been impressive, and they've been in all the games. They've lost more than they've wanted to, but they've been on in all of these games. And so a win here against the Chargers would put them at 4-4 and right in the thick of things. But Damian Harris, dude, this team is starting to get that run going. And he was up and down on those Jets, over 100 yards and 2 TDs last week. And they're starting to run the ball at will. So that's bad news, because that's just going to make the play action, better for Mac moving forward. We mentioned it earlier, Hunter Henry coming back to L.A. He's so hot right now. I mentioned four touchdowns in a row. He's looking for his fifth there. And that defense is pretty good, too. So, you know, it's going to be a well-coached team. We'll look at the film for last year and see if they can break out any of the stuff that they used against Herbert next year or last year. But this Charger team, dude, they're coming off a brutal loss before the bye week. And you know they want to put it together on Sunday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Casey. You mentioned it, and those two things are my lead going right into this game, is that the Chargers got completely debacled last year by the Patriots, 45-0. You said it, but it's even worse than that, Casey. That was the worst loss in franchise history. Okay, wow. We've never been blown out that bad. I mean, it was, and Bill Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks. Well, thank God Herbert has lived through that and is not a rookie anymore. But yeah, that was just a mess. Nothing worked. And last week, same story in Baltimore. I mean, both teams came into there red hot, and the Ravens completely spanked the Chargers 34-6. It was a little worse, I think, than 34-6, really. It felt worse as a Charger fan for me. But let's talk Herbert. You know what? A lot of people predicted a lot of sort of regression to the norm for him. Not necessarily a sophomore slump, but he's played pretty well. He's done what he's needed to do. 14 touchdowns, just 4 picks on the season is pretty solid. Nearly 100 passer rating, but just shy of it. I would say that's kind of pedestrian a little bit. I would, because nowadays the passer rating's pretty high. But one of the big problems with this team is their kicker. And it's not new. It's been happening for 3-4 seasons now, where it seems like the special teams units are always outplayed by the opposing team. And that's a big, big issue here when you're playing against a Bill Belichick coach team. They always seem to make the smart plays, and they're going to end up with better field position than the Chargers to start every drive, basically, unless the Chargers can remedy that this week. And in particular, it comes to the point after, where the Chargers are just 10 of 15 with kicker Tristan Vizcaino. So when you're missing, in six games, you're missing 5 point afters. So that can really come back and haunt you, and it's only awesome when you get that 2-pointer and it's all good. But it's too much that the special teams has let down this Charger squad. Austin Eckler, though, hasn't let anyone down. He's been amazing. Over 100 yards from scrimmage in 4 of his last 5, and also a touchdown in 3 of his last 4. And Keenan Allen, obviously, I think an underrated guy, and he's not having a statistically like blow your mind season. He's only got 1 touchdown, I believe, on the year, but he's always open for a first down to move the chains. Mike Williams has been the guy with the breakout season, although the last couple of weeks he's been held in check a little bit more. On the other side, we need to get our defense really going. We're getting a couple of guys back that were hurt against the Ravens there. And at the linebacker position, we're getting a guy back, as well as safety Nasir Adderley coming back into the mix. So the Chargers are getting some reinforcements. Still no canine, Casey, as in Kenneth Murray, who is really obviously a huge, huge factor as the middle linebacker in there. So we're still lacking that, and the Chargers are going to have a trouble working on that run game. But Joey Bosa, he had a great game against the Ravens, even though obviously it was a horrible game. And Derwin James is going to be tasked with shutting down Hunter Henry So there's no question. He's done a great job against guys like Travis Kelce, et cetera, et cetera. He is a very, very good coverage safety.
Well, Dave, I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is Vizcaino is not going to miss any extra points for you because he went cut. The bad news is Dustin Hopkins might miss some extra points.
So. Oh, no. Okay. Well, thanks for the update, Casey. Yeah. I thought you were just saying we just cut the guy and said, we're not going for kicks anymore.
Yeah, he's just going for two extra points. Well, you know someone's going to pick him up, and that's going to be the end.
Oh, then he'll be the best kicker in the league. Yeah, that's what happens. So.
Oh, man. All right, Dave, we got another good game here. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars at Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, shit.
And those Seahawks are 3.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, and this one if you didn't follow like what's happening week to week right now, you'd immediately pick the Seahawks in this one. But I'll tell you what, and they're favored, you know, and probably rightfully so. But let's talk this Jaguars team real quick here. They're coming off the bye, but before that, they got their first W. It was a win in Miami. In a couple of games, they've put together stretches, maybe a quarter, even two quarters, where they've played some good football. And obviously, Trevor Lawrence is there's a reason he was picked that high. He has struggled, but it is what it is. Last game, 319 yards and a touchdown. It's obviously on the other side. You've got the Seahawks. They've lost three in a row and five of the last six. It's not good. Not good. Those are bad. But last week, coming off that loss against the Saints, it was a close game. But Geno Smith at quarterback, it just always seems like he's got that mistake in his pocket and he's ready to unleash it at some point in the game at a most critical time. Ouch.
Sorry, yeah, hopefully, Gino. You know, that the 12s can get a couple of false starts and maybe a couple penalties on the Jags, but that Seahawks offense got to find a way to get some points.
Up next, it's the Washington football team at the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos are favored by 3.5.
Yeah, dude, and this football team's been super disappointing. I mean, I know it's been Heineke. They expected to have some Fitz magic there, and it's been a disappearing act at this point. See what I did there? Maybe if he can, you know, like put the rib in the hat and pull it out, and it'll be okay. All right, I'm spiraling, Dave. Let me get back on track. You know, another disappointing player on this team is Antonio Gibson. They've not had the run game going like they thought they would, and that's been a big problem there. Terry McLaurin, on the other hand, has been a big problem for other teams. Love this guy. He's such a weapon. He can score from anywhere. And Curtis Samuel, dude, when is this guy going to get healthy and play, man? I ended up having just to cut him loose on my other fantasy team just because I'm just waiting and waiting. It's not going around. But I'm also waiting for this defense to get better, man. It was supposed to be a huge point for these guys coming into the season with the dominating defense. It's not been that way at all. They're giving up over 400 yards a game. Jonathan Allen's got five sacks, but they're not getting teams off the field. They're giving up a ton of points in the passing game. So still time for them to get it together, you know, but sitting there at 2-5, man, they got to start stacking some wins.
Yeah, big time, dude. And, you know, you look at this Broncos team and they started the season off 3-0. Now they're 3-4. So not good. Both teams here absolutely desperately need this win to get their records a little bit better there. But the Thursday game last week was disappointing for the Broncos. They're playing against like minus 20 guys on that Cleveland squad, really, and some key lost players due to injury there, and they're unable to put together a W there. They are running the ball well with the tandem of Gordon and rookie Javonte Williams. They're putting a pretty good running game out there, and defensively, really, they're one of the better defenses in the league, statistically speaking. But when you say that, you also have to take into consideration the first three teams they played were horrible offensively, and they really beat up on those teams. Really, at this point, Von Miller banged up, not really sure if he'll go and how successful he'll be on the field if he's able to go. But back to the offense, Teddy B has played decent football. You know, he's done what he's generally supposed to do, not make tragic mistakes and put the team in position to win. But it doesn't seem like they're a real aggressive team that attacks the opposing defense. It just seems like they take what's given to them. Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick playing good football, but Yeah, this is going to be an interesting football game to see which of these two squads really shows up and says, look, we're done screwing around. We need this W.
Yeah, Teddy B hopefully getting Jerry Jeudy back for this one. He would go a long way in getting some productivity out of that offense.
Big time, dude. Good point.
All right, up next, we have the Tampa Bay Bucks at the New Orleans Saints. And the Bucks are 4.5-point favorites in this one. And last year, the Saints swept the regular season but lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. But yeah. Drew Brees is now in the confines of the studios at NBC Sunday Night Football in America. So this
and
is
talking
on Jameis.
Or talking Fighting Irish as well, Casey.
That's right.
The Breezer. Yeah, you're right. Last year, it was, if you remember, it was about a year ago or approaching a year where the Saints won in a blowout 38-3. So that was the second of the two regular season games last year. But this Buccaneers team coming off a dominant win against the Bears where they put up 38 and only gave up three. Tom Brady doing what Tom Brady does, leads the league in touchdown passes at 21, leads the league in fewest interceptions at just three. So that results in a 108.2 passer rating for Tom Terrific. Oh, and by the way, he had four touchdowns last week to become the first player in NFL history with 600-plus touchdowns. He sits at 602, and he's going to continue to stack those.
He's also become the first player in NFL history to give away a Bitcoin for a 600th TD football.
That is good stuff, Casey. And Leonard Fournette has run the ball really well for them. It's weird that they don't rotate Ronald Jones in a little bit more. I'm not sure what the... how he ended up in such a doghouse there. But Fournette is the man there. Mike Evans also three receiving touchdowns last week. And Godwin coming off eight catches, 111 yards, and hit a touchdown last week as well. On the other side, they completely dominated last week with Devin White, 10 tackles and a forced fumble. Jason Pierre-Paul, a forced fumble last week, as well as two sacks. And then Shaquille Barrett, who is all over the place all the time. He had a sack, forced fumble, fumble recovery last week. So their defense kind of did it all and filled up the stat sheet. This is going to be a good football game, dude.
Yeah, dude, I'm not sure I know what these Saints are. Seeing them play good, and I've seen them play poorly. Jameis is doing a little bit better with the football, but obviously miss Mike Thomas. They don't have a number one go-to in the pass game. And until last week, they weren't really utilizing Alvin Kamara in that role, dude. He had 10 catches on Monday night. Going into that, he only had 15 on the year. So they figured out, whoa, throw the ball to Kamara and good stuff happens, dude. 179 scrimmage yards, 128 of which came in the pass game. So they got to continue to do that. It just hadn't been utilized enough. We mentioned the trade, Mark Ingram. Hopefully he's active for this one. Give him that 1-2 punch. And that's been a very successful formula for those two for the last few years. So not sure what Ingram has left in the tank, but the familiarity with that offense should be enough to get him in there quicker. And hopefully that works out for those guys. But this defense, man, I am super impressed with this Saints defense, man. They get after the quarterback. They shut down the run, and they can lean on them now. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do that against the Bucs, but if somehow they figure out to win this game, dude, they're just a game back with another game to play against these guys. So the Dome is going to be rocking. Maybe they could squeeze a field goal out of that, but they're going to have their biggest test of the season coming off of the short week. So, you know, I'm pretty interested in see how that game goes as well.
Yeah, it's a fun game. All right, Casey, coming up, it's the Dallas Cowboys at the Minnesota Vikings. Cowboys favored by 2.5.
Yeah, and, you know, Wednesday practice, Dak was limited. Of course, you know, we figured that to be the case. You know, we're not going to know probably right up until kickoff exactly what they're going to do. I'm sure McCarthy's going to hold those cards pretty close to his little vest in there, but I'm assuming Dak is going to play. This offense has been lights out.
Yep.
They're healthy, and the running game has been such a world of difference. It really just opens everything up. They're getting Lyle Collins back. But, you know, Terrence Steele at right tackle. Last year, everybody was trashing this guy. He was an undrafted rookie. This year, everybody's praising how well he's played. So there's some talk in Cowboys circles that they're going to move LC to left guard there. So that would be interesting. And then if you have LC and Zach Martin there at your guards, dude, that means you're going to be running up the middle. Also, you're going to be able to protect Dak quite a bit there. And we're also getting other players back. Gallup started practicing this week. I'm not sure he's going to play this on Sunday night, but at least he's getting to the mix there. Dalton Schultz has been really nice, dude. He's had at least 5 catches in like his last 5 or 6 games. Hit the end zone a couple times too. So offense, they have everything. Obviously, the last thing we saw was CD Lamb running that touchdown in overtime against the Patriots. But the defense, man, much improved. Trayvon Diggs, dude, come on. This guy is an interception machine. Let's see if he can get one on Sunday night. That would be pretty damn impressive if he did that. And starting to get healthy on defense, too. Gallimore is still a couple weeks away, and so is Tank Lawrence there. But Randy Gregory has been insane. I want this guy with the new contract. Let's not get to the end of the season. Let's not mess around with franchise tags. Let's just get him signed. Hopefully he'll give – you know, maybe not a hometown discount, but the Cowboys did stick by this guy when he was having all the troubles off the field, because this is the player they thought he could be, and he's doing that, and he deserves that huge payday. But starting to get some pieces back, you know, if that defense can tighten up just a bit, this is a team that can make a run. But I'm definitely worried about these Vikings, man. This is always a tough game when these teams match up, and this is going to be crazy. Minnesota Halloween night in the Viking ship there. We're going to hear some horns, but hopefully we don't hear them moving many chains, Dave. But this Viking squad is a couple of field goals away, you know, from a 5-1 or whatever record as well.
Yes, that's right. Their 3-3 record is a little bit misleading, I believe, because like you said, they did fumble away towards the end of a game. What would be a W, and also missed a kick that should have been an easy make. But who's complaining about kickers in these days, right? But last year they did beat your Cowboys in Minnesota. It was a little less than a year ago. Of course, that wasn't the Cowboy team that they'll be facing this week. But it was the Vikings coming off a bye, so they're healed up or whatever and rested up. But the week before that was an overtime win at Carolina. So that Carolina team hasn't been great. But Kirk Cousins, I mentioned, he kind of gets bad-mouthed a lot. But 13 touchdowns and just 2 picks on the season is pretty impressive for 105.4 passer rating. And last game in week 6, it was 373 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no picks for a 112.6 passer rating. So Kirk Cousins coming off a pretty smoking hot game there. And speaking of, their whole offense was really cranking as Dalvin Cook rushed for 140 yards and a touchdown in that game against the Panthers defense, which was, statistically speaking, a very good defense. So Justin Jefferson that in that game, 8 catches, 80 yards, and Adam Thielen had 11 receptions, 126 yards, and a touchdown. So all of their guys were clicking, the guys that you want. Even Madison has played well in the last handful of weeks at the backup running back position there. So the Vikings offense has been clicking, and if they can get out there and turn this into a shootout, I mean, it's obviously not a great idea to get into a shootout against the Cowboys, but then at least their defense can just make a couple of timely stops, right, and make a run at trying to steal this football game from a pretty strong Cowboys squad. Again, the Vikings here at home, if they can put together the offense, they can be right in this football game.
Yeah, Dave, but I have a little intel there. In my other league, I'm starting Kirk Cousins. So that's going to jinx him, which is a win for me. I'll take the loss to get the W. All right, Dave, Monday Night Football, baby. Are you sitting down?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for this one.
All right. Ready for the New York Football Giants at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs, 9.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, I'll try and be relatively brief here with the Giants because I think
they suck.
Oh, this one's a lopsided. Even though the Chiefs are just sitting there at 3-4, and the Giants here are at 2-5, records aren't that far apart. And the Giants coming off their best game of the season, arguably for sure, a 25-3 win over Carolina. where Daniel Jones, I mean, here's the good news. He's got 5 touchdowns and only 4 picks, right? Here's the bad news. He leads the team in rushing.
Ugh.
Leads the team in rushing.
That ain't good, Dave.
No, not through 7 weeks of football.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And I mean, if that was Kyler or something, you'd be like, yeah, I get it.
It's Kyler. It's Lamar. Right. This guy is okay. So we want him using his arm, not his legs. He is athletic. Give him some credit. But nonetheless, it just is a sign that the run game isn't there for him. It's not there for this squad. He does come off a nice game where he passed for over 200 yards and a touchdown in that win against Carolina. And, you know, the other thing has been the receivers banged up. Sterling Shepard wasn't go last week. It's Darius Slayton and Dante Pettis are the main guys, which are, it's not bad if they're good, if they're healthy and everything. They have had a lot of banged up receivers. They've got Evan Engram at tight end that they're going to deploy as well, Casey. But ultimately, this is going to come down to, are the Chiefs going to somehow screw it up? Because this Giants defense is going to have their hands full with Patrick Mahomes in sort of a must-win scenario.
Absolutely, dude. And these Chiefs have been their own worst enemy this year. But also playing all that extra football for three or four years, it looks like it's taking this toll, and you're adding these paydays for some of the guys. You don't have enough to put on both sides of the ball. And, you know, the defense has been atrocious. Let's not get it twisted. They have not been good at all. But also, you know, Patrick Mahomes, dude, 9 INTs on the year. They're minus 10 in the turnover ratio. You got a bad defense, and you're giving the ball over left and right. That's why they're sitting there at 3-4 right now, dude, and coming off an ass-kicking to the Titans. So I don't know that the Giants have the same personnel to do the same things as the Titans did to them, but the Chiefs better get their S together pretty damn quick here, because they got a lot of teams on top of them in that division with some tough games still to play on the schedule. This should not be one of them. This should get a get-right game for these Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. But if they don't fix the core problems, the penalties, the turnovers, you know, getting stops on third downs, then they're not going to make the playoffs. So I'm not counting them out yet. And I know nobody wants to see them as a 7 seed coming to your town to play a 2 or even a 6 or 5. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
no, but they want to put the dirt on these guys. But still a lot of football left to be played and a ton of weapons on that side, on that team overall. So I'm assuming they're going to play pretty well on Monday night.
Yeah, you got to ask yourself, is that, you know, Super Bowl loss hangover, is that the real thing? Again, coming back to make a team that lost the Super Bowl have a crappy season. But, Casey, this is going to be a sea of red.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not just talking about Andy Reid's jacket and his warm-up suit?
No, with the cheeseburger stashed in it?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about that. Oh. I'm talking about that stadium.
Oh, gotcha. All right, I'm on the trolley, Dave. It's going to be loud and rocking and red. Oh, man. All right. Well, so many ways you guys can check out the Football Dudes, but your easiest way is to subscribe to the Trend Zone. That's what you're listening to right now. It's available for subscription for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere in the world that offers podcasts. Maybe not anywhere, but most places.
Free of charge.
Free.
Okay. Also, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Instagram and Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Football Dudes LA. Make sure you tag us across all those social media platforms, Casey.
Where your podcast is free. All right, LA people might get that. Or you know what? Just go to footballdudes.com.
That's where it's at.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. For Dave, I'm Casey. Enjoy week 8, people. We are out of here.